It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Tuesday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Russell LeBaire back with you. Time for the Top 5 at 5, brought to you today by Citizens National Bank. Here's Alex Olive.
All right, we've talked about it a couple times this show already, but Tiger Woods had a rollover single vehicle accident this morning. He is in surgery with non-life-threatening injuries. It appears he has injuries to both legs, but is in stable condition. Like I said, non-life-threatening injuries. So,
in surgery, had to be extracted from his vehicle using the jaws of life. Horrific crash scene in Los Angeles early this morning. And looks like he's going to pull through. Looks like he's going to have some pretty significant injuries, but I don't think it's a stretch to say that Tiger Woods is lucky to be alive today.
Yep. Number two, the Tennessee baseball is currently playing at University of Arkansas Pine Bluff. The score just got tied up at 1-1. Pine Bluff just hit a home run about 5 minutes ago. But what's his name? Dylan Rackers, I think. Something Rackers. Managed to get two quick strikeouts and a ground out to end the frame. So, all tied at one. The Vols are going to bat right now.
Yeah, good chance for the bats to really wake up. We've scored 5 runs in all 3 games so far, and usually these midweek games are a chance to break out and put a big number on the board. So hopefully that's on the way.
We actually had 7 on Sunday.
Oh, we did?
Yeah, it was tough.
Oh, that's right. It went to extra innings.
Went to extra innings, and we had a grand slam.
Grand salami.
All right, so we talked about number three. We talked about Kennedy Chandler becoming an All-American McDonald's player. Michigan, who has been rolling under head coach Juwan Howard, has 3 of the McDonald's All-American players on their recruiting class
I'm
this year.
I'm telling you, Juwan Howard has got it rolling up there at Michigan.
He's got the number one class in the country.
Either one of you guys happen to catch their game with Ohio State on Sunday?
I did not.
I had money on it, but I didn't watch it.
We don't want to be in any bracket with Michigan or Ohio State, for that matter.
Well, we're at the part
Michigan
where
Michigan may be the best team in the country.
If a 4 seed is as high as we just need to concentrate on getting the highest possible seed at this point. It's about winning games. But, yeah, I mean, luck of the draw, there's certain teams you don't want to run into. All right, Bear, trivia question. Can you name the other 4 members of the Fab Five, Michigan?
Juwan Howard, Chris Webber. I'd be lucky to get those. And then, Jalen. There was a Jalen on there, wasn't there? Jalen Rose?
Yes.
Cannot remember the other 2.
The other 2 are hard to get. Nobody ever remembers Jimmy King from Plano, Texas, and Ray Jackson.
Ray Jackson was Plano. I always wanted to be from Plano, Texas. I just always thought that sounded kind of cool.
Jimmy King could jump out of the gym back in the day. I think he eventually made the NBA. Webber left after 1 year. I think Webber left after 2 years, and then Howard and Rose left after their junior year, and Jackson and King were 4-year players.
How much do you think that ran Michigan cost-wise to get all 5 of them?
It's a pretty penny. It was not cheap.
They made their money back on it. It was a sound investment.
Back in the 90s.
Now with Juwan Howard.
It's a great story about Steve Fisher, the coach of Michigan back then. They said he went to Chris Webber grew up in a pretty middle-class home, unlike Jalen Rose and Juwan Howard specifically. And so he was going to recruit Webber, number one player in the country in suburban Detroit. Decided to make a quick stop by Dairy Queen on the way over to C. Webb's house. Got himself a chili dog. Ended up getting chili dog all over his tie. Had a big splotch on it. And so he didn't have another tie. He executed the entire in-home visit while keeping his hand over the spot of chili on the tie.
Just went full Chance Collins. Just spilled the chili dog all over himself like a 4-year-old.
How's that for a little nugget? Yeah, I bet you didn't think the top 5 at 5 was going to take this turn. But here we are. Steve Fisher and the Chili Dog, circa 1990.
Talking about 90s Michigan basketball.
Yeah.
All right, number four. The PGA, wow. The PGA Championship is going to allow 10,000 fans per round at the Ocean Course in May. PGA of America announced the decision today. They will play the May 20th through 23rd event with limited capacity. But they are allowing 10,000 per round.
Makes sense. I mean, you're outdoors next to a beach. You're thinking that a large percentage of the population is going to be vaccinated by then. Yeah, you go to a... We can't pull a golf tournament off at this point. Then what are we doing?
All right, number five. A dog helped Ohio authorities find cornflakes frosted with 44 pounds of cocaine.
Wow.
I saw this.
Customs authorities in Ohio article. Say a dog helped them intercept a shipment of cereal earlier this month with a special frosting of cocaine. The shipment was headed from, I think it was from Peru to Hong Kong.
They used cocaine as the powdered sugar on the frosted flakes. How are they going to get it off? People just
eat this. I saw the packaging on it. I mean, it looked like something you'd see on a grocery store shelf. I'm sure if they got the frosting, quote unquote, on there, they got an equally ingenious plan to get it right back off the flakes.
Maybe you just go ahead and eat the frosted flakes. It's a brilliant new way to get high. Put a little milk in there too, so you get some vitamins too while you're ingesting hardcore street drugs into your system. Cocaine and milk.
It was worth quite a bit of money.
Yeah, $2,822,000.
Woo! A lot of yayo.
Tony the Tiger. They're great!
Great.
That is the top 5 at 5.
Great.
Brought to you. Why does Cody's name always come up when we talk? Never mind. Brought to you by our friends at Citizens National Bank, the official bank of The Drive. You can check about online at cnbtn.com. Save big where the rubber meets the road with roadside assistance, a benefit of having a checking account at Citizens National Bank. Visit cnbtn.com, as I say, for more information. Citizens National Bank, the official bank of The Drive. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show. Josh Pate of 247sports.com coming up in about 20 minutes on the show. If you want to get in, go ahead and take a shot now. 546-8200, your number to get on the show. Let's get D.R. Vall in here next. Good afternoon, D.R. Vall.
Good afternoon, guys. Barry, you haven't given an update. How's your arm feeling after that vaccine? Because that was the worst part of the first shot for me.
No, man, it was fine. I'm a pretty reactive person to vaccines, but it wasn't as bad as the last flu shot I got. This past year's was pretty rough. But I'm sure the second one, which is the one I've heard, is not a whole lot of fun. It's the one that'll get me. But nah, I tolerated it real good.
Second one kicked my butt. About 12 hours after I got it, I thought I had the flu for 12 hours, and then I was fine. So, Russ, you wouldn't bring Bruce back?
What are we doing? What are y'all doing to the show this afternoon?
For the nieces, there's blood. Jamie threw the blood in the water.
We have a basketball coach, D.R. Vall. He's won 724 games. He's been to a Final Four. He's been to about 20 NCAA tournaments. He's already won a conference championship here. He's won 63% of the games that he's coached at Tennessee. If you take out the first 2 years, that number is over 70%. What are y'all doing?
I'm not saying I want Barnes fired. I mean, he hadn't won all those games and got the Final Four here. I'm not saying I want him fired. I'm saying I agree with Jamie. I'd like for one day before I die and before he's gone, I want him back. I love Bruce Pearl, man. He's the reason why I'm a Tennessee basketball fan.
I love Bruce
Pearl.
You
remember how fun those years were?
I do remember. Those years were fantastic. And we'll always have
Ray Mears, but you don't see me crying and pouting about wanting Ray Mears back.
I know that name, but I mean, that was before my time, Bear.
If Bruce Pearl could still be here. Do you know why Bruce Pearl isn't here? Because of Bruce Pearl. I hate it too. I hate that it had to play out like that too. But it's been 11 years, guys. It's been 11 years. Time to let it go. Those first couple of years were hard, man. And Konzo Martin followed a rock star. It was an impossible situation for him. He didn't do too badly here, but he was never going to live. And those years sucked because we all wanted Bruce back. And I'll include myself in that list. And even the Tindall year, it was rough. But, guys, it's a long time. I think 11 years is enough time to process a basketball coach, okay? We're not talking about a divorce or anything, all right? It's a basketball coach.
I'll never be able to give him up. I mean, I've told that story. He called my brother.
Never gonna give you up.
That's me with Bruce.
Never gonna let
my brother
you
in the hospital in Memphis asking us to watch a ball game, and that's why I'm a Tennessee fan. But you're right.
Never gonna give. I'm sorry. I'm Rick rolling you. DR Vol.
Kwanzaa never did get a fair shake, even for me, I'll admit, because I wanted Bruce the whole time, and it was just a complete opposite, kind of like we went from kissing the dooley. You went from one extreme to the other, and it was just boring to me.
Well, it's like you were dating the hot chick who just rocked your world, took you places you've never been before. I mean, it was just – it's the one you'll always think about. And then, but she blew up – she pressed the blow-up button on the relationship, and you you can never go back and – yeah, you settle down with Konzo Martin. He's the kind you bring home to mama, and he'll take good care of you and everything and fix you a nice dinner and make sure all your needs are met, if you know what I'm talking about. But at the end of the day, it's just not the same. You want the heart wants what it wants. I get it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why I've got a Bruce Pearl signed basketball on my desk. I'll never be able to give him up. I enjoyed that what you were talking about with Rick Barnes on Jim Rome, which, by the way, wasn't Jim Rome on The Waterboy, made a cameo in that movie?
Did he? I don't recall that.
I believe he did. Yeah, I know we won't know right now, but I wonder if Folky will ever come out and talk about, with the COVID and stuff, because he reminds me of his freshman year, because his freshman year, he used to look like a newborn giraffe driving the paint, and he just, the regression, that's got to be the reason why he is the way he is.
He's just always playing like his hair was on fire back in the day. And you could see he's tried to do that for spurts this year, but he just can't sustain it. And the body language is terrible. I hope he's all right, first and foremost. I hope he can get himself together. And I mean, next year would be his sixth year of college basketball. If he wants to come back, I'd love to see him back, but I also wonder if there's a point where if I'm going to make any money playing basketball, it's probably going to be overseas, and that clock is ticking, so maybe it's time to go ahead and start it.
Yeah, and that's why I'm not going to give him a hard time, because you're right, Russ. If you watch him, man, he just looks like he doesn't feel good, and it makes me kind of just feel awful for him. But, guys, I've held y'all long enough, but, Jamie, if you start another petition to bring back Bruce, let me know. I'll sign that one, too. See ya.
Russ, you signed that thing, didn't you?
What?
The petition.
I don't even remember. No, I didn't. And I don't. I mean, was there one petition? Like, I don't know. Are there names on it? Can we go back and look at this somewhere? I mean, who cares? That was what? 8 years ago? So we all got to let this stuff go. I mean, Jamie can't sandblast the life-size tattoo of Bruce Pearl's face on his belly. But other than that, time washes it all away. It's all gone, right? Got to let it go.
I don't think Jamie ever is.
No, he's not. I think that's a problem for him. I hate to see him like that. It's unrequited love. It's the same people who think Lane Kiffin is coming back here someday. It's not going to happen. Stop. Why do you guys do that to yourself? Why?
That's a whole different story. Yeah.
These are the same dudes that can't find new love, that can't get into new relationships because they're constantly hung up on the one that got away. And that happens.
Well, I thought you were saying that Bruce Pearl and Lane Kiffin are the same dude.
They are, practically. It's the same
they
fantasy.
They both ended up at Auburn. Well, no, one ended up at Auburn, one at Ole Miss.
Well, there's a lot of projection going on there. Oh, it can be the same. It's never going to be the same again. Oh, you overlook the bad things that happened. Like the fact that Bruce Pearl's program kind of became a halfway house there towards the end. Bear, not some bad characters on that team.
Yeah, we had a lot of stupid stuff was going on.
Bruce was kind of getting sideways with guys you don't want to get sideways with there towards the end.
No. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. It wasn't just a lie.
Well, there's just
They didn't give him the heads up. They let him hang himself. But he had definitely napalmed some bridges here in town.
People just want to look over that. Look,
big
it's okay to
law enforcement.
You come out of a relationship like that, you're entitled to a year or two to process that. It takes different time for different people. Maybe even 3 years. You don't know. But at some point, you got to put it behind you. And, hey, you got a lot of life to live. There's going to be other coaches. And there's going to be other chances to win and other chances to have success and other chances to have fun and other chances to enjoy your experience. I feel like 11 years is enough. Bruce Pearl walked out of here, was kicked out of here in 2011. Okay, it has been 10 years, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a decade. Time to let it go.
I'm a third coach.
Doesn't mean you can't enjoy the memory of those six seasons, it was great. Nobody's denying that. It was a lot of fun. But it's been 10 years. Guys, time to put your big pants on, big boy pants on. Pull them up. Pull up your britches. Get on out there.
I found the link to the survey. It is no longer accessible.
Mm.
10,000 people signed it, though.
10,000 people. Is that a lot of people? I don't know. That's half of Thompson Bowling Arena. Is that a lot of people?
10% of Neyland Stadium.
Is that enough to get anything done in this country? 10,000 people? What are you going to do with 10,000 people? Not bring Bruce Pearl back. How many people would have to sign that petition for the university to be like, well, we can't deny this. This is what the people... It would have to be millions, right?
Has a petition ever actually accomplished anything? Like that type of petition where you just sign it. I've seen those passed around and
it's a good question.
Online
I don't know.
For years. I've never seen anything happen because of them.
You never get your – when you're starting the petition, that's the first sign of a lost cause. Because the next petition that affects the change that it's made for will be the first. Time to let it go, guys. Time to let it go. I know it hurts. 10 years later, it still hurts, man. He should still be here. He should have won a natty by now. We should have been to multiple Final Fours at Tennessee. It's not my fault. It's not your fault, Jamie. It's not your fault, Bear, Alex. We didn't do that. But it's over. Sometimes you got to move on. Got to move on. Pick up the pieces. Keep going. 10 years later, are we still going to be having this conversation on the drive? 50-year-old Russell is going to be taking these phone calls?
Probably.
Jamie, that was 20 years ago, bro. It's 2031. Rick Barnes is still coaching. He's 77 years old. Bruce Pearl's not coming back. How old is Bruce? Bruce is 60.
Bruce is 60 now?
Bruce is 60.
Wow. I love him so much, though, Russell.
Boy, he did cut the picture of a handsome guy back in his younger days, right?
He's still a dapper Dan.
Little product in there, slicked back. He could rock a suit.
Just the swag we played with. Juwan Smith just taking Billy Donovan out for a walk every time we played Florida.
See, and you can do this, Barrett. You can celebrate it. You can remember it fondly.
Without wishing that he
comes back. It doesn't even have to be sad anymore. It's just, yeah, that was a great period.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if we'll ever see that again where we have our shooting guard go down, tell the opposing team's head coach that, you know, exactly what he was going to shoot to beat him and that he was going to take his wife out for dinner later. You know?
See, that's there's no reason to bring family into this. It's just a basketball game. It's just a basketball game.
Juwan's had a really high motor. I mean, the guy was just kind of, you know, Juwan Smith. He got in there. That team, that Tennessee team would get in. They lived in Florida's head, rent free. So.
Barnes has been pretty good against him, too.
Yeah, he has. It's kind of been the opposite of our football program, which is kind of surprising. But yeah, we've had a lot of success against Florida the past 15 years or so, 20 years.
We flushed three callers in hour number two of the show.
We had some pretty rough calls.
Had to be done. Every now and then, you got to flex your muscle. Every now and then, you got to instill some much-needed discipline to this caller roster. It's a pretty good caller roster. We're grateful for them. But every now and then, they get a little too familiar, if you know what I'm saying. Come on here. Did you hear Jamie's tone today on the show? Hold on, Russ. I'll get on with my call. You just back off a little bit. It's like, no, Jamie. No, you're calling the drive. It's our show.
You called us.
Like,
you know what I think's got people fired up about, especially about Bruce Pearl? Today is the 13th anniversary of the Memphis-Tennessee game.
Really?
For number one.
Oh, wow. Is that the greatest moment in Tennessee basketball history? I think it is.
Taking down Kentucky in the SEC tournament a couple of years ago was a lot of fun.
That's in the conversation. I think what happened
and
the next day.
And just the way we did that one, too. We were down.
But what happened the next day against Auburn almost wipes it out for me. But on the same token, what happened in the next game after the 2008 Memphis game against Vanderbilt kind of wipes that one out in some ways. To me.
I don't know. There's been so many legendary moments in Tennessee basketball, and it's completely psychotic that we've never been to a Final Four.
Well,
I mean, there have been some huge moments.
In terms of the furthest run we've made, I guess you have to have J.P. Prince blocking Evan Turner's shot to advance to the Elite Eight for the first time.
And yeah.
I would throw the Memphis game, 1-2, in there. Those would probably be my two moments. The Memphis game, and then I think it was the next year beating Ohio State to get to the Elite Eight.
I mean, I've got some older ones than you guys, obviously, because I'm a lot older than Alex and a bit older than you, Russ. Some of mine go back, you know, some of the stuff in the 80s and, you know, seeing Ernie and Bernie.
I wasn't around for a lot of those games. I can guarantee you there's nothing that happened in the 80s that's in the conversation for best moments in Tennessee basketball history.
There's a few. I mean, Tony White ripped off a, what was that? Was it a 50 burger?
He had 49 points against, or was it 51? One of those against Auburn the last year in Stokely.
I mean, there were some players that put on some clinics back during the 80s. But Dale Ellis.
Granted, but this is way down the list. This is not in this conversation. These moments are not in. You know that. These moments. At this point, we're just listing nice things that happened.
Kansas with, you know, what? How many players suspended? I mean,
yeah.
Kansas was what? Kansas was number one, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah, they were number one. That was a good moment. Not in the conversation for greatest moments in Tennessee basketball history, I think. Stay with us. The drive continues. We're going to get Josh Pate from 247sports.com in here with us next on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Stay tuned. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
Welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Russ LeBaire back with you on The Drive. Pleased to be joined now by Josh Pate of 247sports.com. He's at Late Kick Josh on Twitter. Good afternoon, Josh. How are you, sir?
fascinating times here. I'm outside. It is 71 degrees, and so people are jogging, in some cases with their shirts off, and there are still piles of snow all over the place.
Well, I was going to ask you if you guys have thawed out pretty good. It's nice and warm here in East Tennessee. 71. My goodness, that's fantastic.
I got sunburned today. I don't even know what to tell you. It's really confusing right now.
A heat wave gripping the mid-state this afternoon. Josh, it's good to catch up with you again. First of all, before we talk some college football, you're there in Nashville, and I imagine Isaiah Wilson is the hot topic of conversation on Nashville sports radio. What are your thoughts? This dude doesn't even make it 1 year. How did the Titans miss so spectacularly on yet another first-round draft pick?
So that's a good question. I was talking to someone just before I left the gym a little while ago. This was obviously the topic of conversation there. And, you know, that was a question. Like, how are you going to invest that much money and then just totally apparently miss on the character evaluation? Well, here's the question. Did they really miss, or were there red flags and they just assumed the risk? So there's obviously a different way that people go about evaluating the quarterback position, what I call a neck-up evaluation. There are risks you're not willing to take when you're drafting a quarterback. When you're drafting a tackle or a guard or like a safety, there are just more risks you're willing to take. So I really wonder, and I hope we can get some anonymous or on-the-record sourcing on this, like what did the Titans actually see? When they sat down with them, when they talked with folks in Athens and their own PIs, what did they actually see, and what were they just willing to assume?
Well, I would imagine that, first of all, they probably saw a massive human being who played really well for Georgia at times, and they're projecting, right? This guy could be a good player on down the road, but obviously – Josh, he's a grade A knucklehead, right? I mean, and maybe he could just hide that in the interview process, but it's hard for me to sit here and think that, man, there had to have been some warning signs, right? And like you said, there's a certain amount of risk you're going to put up with for a first-round pick, a late first-round pick, too. I mean, I think that's a key part of it. But, this one seemed to have, like we said, the guy didn't even make it a year. At least some of the busts in years past made it several years before they had to cut ties.
Yeah, I think it's also really important to stress the stuff that we know about is the stuff we know about. There's no telling what else they've dealt with. And I'm telling you, you know as well as I do, when you're spending first-round money or just high-round money on a guy, you're willing to cover up a lot. You're willing to turn the other cheek. And so, I mean, to have to cut ties this early, it's embarrassing. It's a black eye. You start to reevaluate some of your own internals, hopefully. And, I mean, it's happened, okay? So, like, that's present and now in the past. Don't let that stuff happen again in the future.
Learn from your mistakes. Josh Pate, 247sports.com with us. All right, Josh, let's switch to the college game. Who, in your opinion, is winning this young offseason thus far in college football?
I think Oklahoma's done a fantastic job. We, out of necessity, the market dictated really that at 247 Sports, we launch transfer portal rankings because we've got so many guys in there now. We unveiled the 2021 version of that the other day, and Oklahoma has signed three of the top 10 guys, all from Tennessee, obviously, signed three of the top 10 guys in the portal in Gray and Morris and Lawrence. And so that's a really good deal. And I think the mentality is going to start to morph into not what was our signing class ranked, but it's going to be what was our recruiting class ranked, and then how do we sort of merge and tie in the rankings of the guys we got out of the portal? Because Oklahoma just signed the number 11 class in the country. But then when you factor in the guys they just got out of the portal, if you just run the quick calculations, that's a class that's probably a top 5 class. So they've done a really good job. Florida got the top 2 kids in the portal. I think Miami has been really sneaky good. They got Tyreek Stevenson. They got Charleston Rambo. And I'm really looking at Miami and Georgia Tech. I think we already talked about this. But those two programs where, like, it's such a fallback option geographically for a lot of guys who choose to leave South Florida or leave Atlanta and then may end up in the portal and want to come back home. It's just such a natural landing spot. It's a Power 5 position that you can fall back on right in your backyard. I think Miami is going to be a mainstay in this conversation. Georgia Tech, I think, is going to be a mainstay. And that's on top of just the other traditional powers.
Is it still too early to determine who exactly, if there is a formula to it at all, the transfer portal is going to benefit? Because I know we've seen a couple of players leave Clemson. I haven't seen a ton of activity with Alabama, but as you mentioned, Oklahoma, who's lived in the playoff, has welcomed an influx of talent. Do you think that it's going to benefit the haves more than the have-nots, or vice versa, or is it still too early to tell?
Well, I think it's early, still early to tell. I think in a very overarching manner, I can safely say anything in college football is eventually going to be figured out, and it's going to be a way to benefit the haves and have-nots. This is not an equal sport. There is no pretense under which this is a sport built on equity or equality or whatever you want to call it. So that part is pretty much already figured out even before we get into the specifics. But the one thing that I just keep wondering, and I'm not alone, like a lot of personnel type people keep wondering, is are we really going to maintain this situation currently where guys transfer out of here and we don't get an immediate roster spot that we can fill? Because right now it's a mess. And right now if you have this mass exodus of players, Tennessee's a perfect example. You got these guys going out the door, but yet you still got an entity telling you, hey, you still need to be right at that 25-man cap in your next signing class. Well, how are you supposed to fill your roster back out? And so that's something I think, just like the targeting rule, like when you and I watch how targeting is currently called, I don't think there's anyone in college football of sane mind that is currently happy with the way targeting is called, the letter of the law. I don't think a lot of people are happy with the way that the transfer portal is being handled from a roster numbers standpoint, but yet nothing's changed. So we got to see what changes in the future before we really figure out what normal is going to be.
Man, that's such a good point. We're talking with Josh Pate. I think most college football fans look at the transfer portal and say, man, this is not good. This is not the way it's supposed to be. But I don't know what the answer is. I don't know that there's a better solution. This is the best system they've come up with in a time of change for the sport, Josh. And yet, you're absolutely right. I think most people are very dissatisfied so far.
Here's what's going to have to happen. I think you're going to have to give the market forces, for lack of a better term, a little while to work the kinks out. And just sit back. It's going to be painful. It's not going to be comfortable. You're going to see a number of guys go in the portal and then not end up with a landing spot. And that's going to have to happen, and it's going to have to be observed. And then instead of trying to put these artificial man-made barriers in here, just let some guys learn tough lessons. Let other kids watch those guys learn tough lessons and realize the immediate answer is not always going to be, well, I don't like how practice went today. I'm a threat to go in the portal. Well, you do that now, and you don't really know what the consequences are. You do it 5 years from now, and you're going to have a number. You're going to have a litany of cautionary tales of guys who were equally or higher rated than you were once upon a time who went in the portal and were never heard from again.
Bear, you got a question for Josh about the portal?
Yeah, I mean, that's what he kind of hit on it, is that, I can't remember the exact number. It was an astounding number of kids that are in the portal this offseason, Josh. And there's not going to be places for all of them. And there's going to be, I just feel like there's going to be quite a few of them who, and I think this is what you were just getting at, that are going to jump in there expecting to end up like getting to go to, transfer out of a dysfunctional program just like ours is right now to a big time school that's competing for championships like Oklahoma. So this just doesn't seem very well thought out to me.
Welcome to the wonderful world of major college football. That's a theme that we see pretty much all over the place. You're right, though. And when the proliferation of this began, that's what people started to ask. It's just like name, image, and likeness. Like the NCAA kind of releases a statement that says, hey, this is coming. And then they just leave. And you're left on the recruiting trail trying to figure out, When an uncle of a kid is asking you, hey, what are you going to do for my nephew's branding? I don't know, sir. I don't even know what the laws are. I don't even know what the rules are going to be. And it's the same way with the portal. And it's what I wish, and what you hear from a lot of coaches is they're willing to adjust. They're willing to roll with the punches even if they don't like it. What they wish is we could get a few years back-to-back of consistency in ruling and consistency in what's allowed and what the landscape is. Right now it feels like 20% of the sport turns over every offseason and no one ever develops a process because you don't know what the rules are.
Well, that leads me to my next question. Do you think we're going to see anytime soon that, what are they called, the college football czar instead of the NCAA, which seems to be just a very antiquated and ill-equipped to handle modern college football. It's just too big of a bureaucracy, yeah, I feel like.
Yeah, I think that is, I think that's a straw man that the Power Five presidents allow to be built, knowing full well it's never coming. Because by default, if that comes, that means the Power Five conference commissioners and presidents have voluntarily given up power. And that's not coming. I mean, there's no formula, or there's no lens, rather, through which I ever see that happening voluntarily. What I think is more likely is you end up with a splitting off, you know, when the time comes for all this, you end up with a splitting off of some of the major programs, call it 30 or 60 or whatever, and then they define their own governing body, and they develop their own governing body, and then maybe things are legislated from a different platform that maybe doesn't exist right now. But there is no mechanism with which these people are voluntarily going to centralize authority and give it up in the process.
Josh Pate, 247sports.com, with us this afternoon on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Josh, last thing, we'll let you run. Josh Heupel at Tennessee, getting situated, still has one more assistant opening on his staff. Is there anything Josh Heupel can do to add a feeling of stability around Tennessee football, or is that just going to be very difficult to accomplish until we know the extent of the NCAA infractions committed under Jeremy Pruitt's watch?
I think that's the tough but true answer, the way that you ended the question there. What I would do, and the model I would look at, since we just mentioned Georgia Tech, when Jeff Collins came in to Georgia Tech, now they weren't dealing with sanctions or anything, but he was dealing with sort of a mess of a program, and not just that, they were going to have to totally rebuild everything because they had recruited for Paul Johnson's offense. So he knew it's going to be 3 years minimum before we can really do anything here, but yet there was this immediate energy. And so what they did was actually inherited a house that they had to really rebuild from the inside out, but they really put a lot of decoration on the outside of the house, and they really emphasized branding, and they really emphasized culture, and they kept, and have to this point, kept the fan base engaged. That is not by accident. That is an art form. It takes talent and really precise skill to do that. It takes hiring the right people. That needs to be the focus right now, because eventually, if Josh Heupel's the right guy for the job, they'll get things turned around. Eventually, we will know, for better or for worse, what's coming down that NCAA pike. When you come out on the other end, whatever that is, what state is the program in? Like, are you ready to go, or is it just then that you hit the reset button? That, to me, would be my focus up there.
He is the host of the Late Kick YouTube show and the Late Kick podcast, 247 Sports National Director of Video, Josh Pate, at Late Kick Josh on Twitter. Josh, always a pleasure. Thanks for hopping on.
All right, thanks, guys.
Good stuff. Josh Pate making his presence felt here this afternoon on The Drive. We got one more commercial break to take. We'll be back to wrap things up. A couple thoughts to unpack and finish with when we continue next on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Jets. Welcome back. Time for a little hot take, cold take, presented by Blue Water Climate Control. Here's Alex.
The 2015 Tennessee football team was significantly better than the 2016 Tennessee football team. 2015, of course, is the year where we lost four games by a combined 19 points to two playoff teams.
I'm gonna say that's a cold take. I don't know that they were better at all, necessarily, but significantly better. No way. It was basically the same guys, wasn't it?
Same players, pretty much, but performance-wise, I think they were better. What say you?
They didn't tank at the end of the year.
I'm going to say I have to put on a cardigan. It's a little cold in here.
Really?
Yeah.
That's been a take you've been driving home since, for like the past couple of years, that the 2015 team was better.
Oh, I got it flipped in my head. I heard him wrong. Yeah, it's a smoking hot. Roasting.
Bear's like, wait a minute, I have to remember what my opinion is on this before I...
No. I thought it flipped when he was saying it. Yeah, the 2015 team would have beat the 2016 team by three touchdowns.
Even though it's the same team?
Yeah, they were better in 15. That was a playoff team, Butch Botch, that year. That was when you anointed him Botch, was that season. He botched it.
Was Bajakian?
What was the story?
The OC.
Is he a twin brother?
Or did he leave after 14? Bajakian came in 15, or DeBoer came in 15, right?
Yeah.
Why are we talking about this?
Rolling.
There have been a lot of conversations on the show today I don't want to have anymore, okay?
Well, this is our callers and our intern.
This is a sad conversation. Which Butch team was better? Oh, my God. Just go ahead and fashion me a noose. End it all right now.
I don't think you're going to like this next one either, Ben.
Oh, God.
Heupel will prove to be the best head football coach since Lane Kiffin at the University of Tennessee.
I would say that's hot because the guys, the three guys in between them were such boobs. I mean, there's no way. There's just no way. There's no way, right, Bear, that this guy could be any worse.
Stop doing that. You keep saying that with every one of these guys. I think that's a hot take. The one thing that he's bringing to the table that these other three guys didn't is he is from the new age of from high school to the pros offense, which is super high-powered. They're going to, you know, play fast. They're going to throw it around. They're going to score a lot of points. And, you know, for everybody that's kind of worried about it, I mean, this is what we've all been complaining about for years. We want to have a high-powered offense.
He better give us that.
Yeah.
All right. The Vols will go 8-4 this year.
Oh, Lord.
Like, exactly 8-4 or?
8-4 or better.
I'm going to say that's hot. I think we are going to win 8 games. I've been saying my take is we will be the more talented team 9 out of 12 times. And I think a caller said earlier, and I would agree, I don't think right now that we're going to beat Ole Miss. But I could see the other 8. So, yeah, I'm going to roll with that.
Yeah, I could roll with that. The Ole Miss game that everybody – I think the Ole Miss game could be a coin flip because I think that could honestly end up being – I may be completely wrong. It may end up being 13-10. But to me, that's got like 52-48 written all over it going down to the last – whoever has the ball last kind of game.
All right.
Lane Kiffin, not big on defense.
The last one, pineapple on pizza is a slam dunk.
Cold, man. Indeed. I mean, it's not terrible. I'm not like anti-pineapple on pizza. I'll eat it. But if I'm making the call, like you're asking me to put the toppings on, no. Like, it doesn't even enter into it.
No, that's absolutely like liquid nitrogen, or, you know, like liquid nitrogen cold.
Oh.
That's just horrible. Pineapple does not belong on pizza.
If you went to a party somewhere and someone had pineapple on pizza, would you eat any of it?
No.
If that was the only thing?
That's the only thing to eat. Hey, Barrett, we've got several pineapple pizzas here. I'm sorry. I know you're hungry, but this is all we got. We got whatever you want to drink, but this is dinner. It's pineapple pizza.
Well, what would I do? I'd be like, I'll be right back.
No, you wouldn't. You would eat a couple of pieces of pineapple pizza
because
that's what polite people do.
You know me. You know me. Exactly. What have you ever known me to be polite?
Well, that... You're 50 years old, man. It's time to work on those manners.
I don't care. You're one of my closest friends. You're going to tell me you couldn't see me saying, hey, Dubs, I'll be right back.
Yeah, and I'm telling you.
And I'll run down to Central Park or Crystal and grab me a sack full and eat and come back and, you know, grab one of their frosty beverages they're providing and just, you know, nod my head and talk.
You've never been at a situation, dinner party, where you don't necessarily like the food, but you have to eat it?
Those don't exist in my world, Russ. I'm my own man.
That doesn't exist in your world?
No.
Dinner parties or like dinner gatherings?
No, just I've been to things like that. I just won't eat. I'm just that way. I mean, it's stupid to go through life eating something you don't like because you're afraid to hurt somebody's feelings. I'd be like, look, it's no problem.
If
your feelings shouldn't get hurt, mine aren't hurt. I don't care. I'll pick something up later. I'm still going to enjoy your company.
But
I'm not going to eat something I don't want to eat.
If it's something that's just completely disgusting, like I probably wouldn't eat Brussels sprouts. If somebody put frog legs out there, if it's something gross, You know, I'm probably not going to eat that. But if it's pineapple pizza, like, really? You can't eat pizza.
I don't like it.
It's going to make you puke? It's going to make you nauseous? Pineapple. It's just pineapple pizza. Like, what's,
it's just gross, man. I've never eaten pineapple. I don't like it. There's got to be something.
Whoa. Time out. You don't like pineapple?
I hate pineapple.
You hate pineapple? No, you don't. Who hates pineapple? That's stupid,
man.
That
is a freezing
cold take. A lot of people do. What?
No, no. A lot of people do not hate pineapple. Everybody loves pineapple. Most people.
No, everybody does not love pineapple. You put a poll in the field if you want to, Russ. I don't like the texture of it. It's just, it's disgusting.
It's pineapple.
I will not eat it.
People eat pineapple. It's not the best fruit, but people eat it. It's okay. It's good.
I know there is something that you don't like. You don't like mayonnaise.
Yeah, but you can't.
Great.
But that is a condiment a lot of people don't like. I
don't
guarantee
like
you more people like pineapple than mayonnaise. That's not a controversial statement. That's a terrible comparison, Bear. Oh God.
Tell me, you just have to be honest.
We have to move on. Cut him off.
You don't like.
That's brought to you by Blue Water Climate Control, your locally owned and operated, veteran owned and operated HVAC specialist. Check out Blue Water Climate Control. They've been in business for a couple of years now. My dude Jeremy is in the Navy for 24 years, and he served our country all over the world, and now he's putting his background in engineering and into use in the local business community. Blue Water Climate Control, man, it's a great company. And as of this morning, they had one free furnace left in their February free furnace program. It might be gone now, but if you've been waiting, you need to call right now. 299-2290. Not like tomorrow. Not like later tonight. Like right now. I even give you permission to turn off the show. 865-299-2290, or go online to bluewaterclimatecontrol.com and get set up for that free quote today. All right, you can bring Bear back if he can behave for our final call. I want to get Westchester in. He's been waiting patiently. Westchester, good afternoon, sir.
Guys, I won't be long. Bear, I got to say, for once I feel for you. If you were as legitimately upset as you pretended to be about that Phil Collins bumper music as we are about this takeover today, then I got to say, Bear, I understand and I feel for you.
Takeover. What? What take?
What takeover?
The pineapple suck?
Oh.
No, the bumper music takeover of that crappy band today.
Daft Punk
or whatever it is.
Yeah, I got to say, the bumper music Alex played today like did nothing to change my opinion on Daft
Fantastic.
Punk.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
it's okay.
And Alex,
it's all right.
Alex, just a little bit of a production tip here. You never want to bring in a guest to like Robot Rock that has a long, long roll in before Russ can start talking. You gotta pay attention to the rhythm of the song when it hits.
He'll learn. Y'all will learn him right, I'm sure of it. Anyway, thanks guys. Great show.
Great show, boys. Good show today.
I'm putting up a very late Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question. Do you like pineapple? Yes or no?
You ought to put up one.
It'd be like
80%. People really think
yes.
That I would. Would people really be surprised if I refused to eat something?
Well, no, but everybody knows you're a psycho. Like that's not worthy of a poll. We all know that. That's been well established. I'm just saying.
I'm the master of the IRDA. I'm the master of that, bub.
You go to a party, it's like, hey, well, first of all, when is this ever going to... all right, a pizza party. We got pizza? Yeah, it's all pineapple pizza. What? Who did that? Who made that call? I would actually like to do that just to see how people would react. Tell them we've got pizza and show up. And yeah, it's all pineapple pizza.
Take them back down to wherever they
no,
came
you
from.
Wouldn't.
Tell them they made a mistake.
All right.
Like, I'll fix it for us.
That is going to do it. Thank you so much. Thank you, Christopher Gabriel. Thank you, Josh Pate. Thank you, Bear. Thank you, Alex Olive. Another day, another dollar, another stellar edition of The Drive in the books. Overtime coming up next from 6 until 8. We'll do it again tomorrow live from Old Ben Franklin Motors right here on Fan Run Radio.